this morning, Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Over the next coming weeks, I feel to prepare you for. I feel to prepare you for Easter and what Easter is all about. The world has taken the most important day in all of history, the most important day in Christianity. Yes, it was important that Jesus came, but the reason he came as a baby, and we celebrate that at Christmas, but the reason he came was to die for our sins. And the world has taken that and made it something as far, far away from what it means. As far as I know, there weren't any rabbits at the cross. There was no chocolate at the cross. They weren't having family barbecues at the cross. It's so odd that the world can take something like the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I encourage every single one of us to turn our minds to exactly what Easter is about. And I encourage all of us, I'm preaching to the converted here today, but to be in church that day, let's come and worship God because he's no longer in the grave. He died, he was buried, but 3 days later, he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And so we've got so much to be thankful for. And so over the coming weeks, I want to turn your mind to that. I want to teach today about something that's so, so important. Right back to the basics of what it means to be a Christian. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. You see, I believe that you put God's word in when you don't need it, and it will be there when you need it. There's times when we hear preaching and it doesn't feel like it's for us right now. But there's going to come a time when that word's going to speak to you. Put it in when you don't need it, and it's going to be there when you need it. And whatever you need in this place today, Jesus is still the answer. He's still the answer. It doesn't matter how much technology we've got. We're on the internet. We're in outer space. We think we've got it all together, but Jesus is still the answer. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this, that at that time, you were without Christ. Can anyone else remember what it was like before they became a Christian? Without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without God in the world. Now there's a powerful word that starts out in verse 13. I remember one preacher, he preached about how but is the revolving door. You were without Christ. You were aliens. You were strangers from the covenants. You had no hope. Everybody say but. Everybody say but. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, without hope, without God, aliens, you who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now in Jesus Christ, you who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see, that's telling me that the blood built a bridge from that place where we were lost, that place where we were without hope, that place where we were without Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus built a bridge, and we are made nigh unto God by the blood of Jesus. I want to speak today on this title, The Precious Blood of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Oh God, Lord, in reverence we stand here remembering your sacrifice. Lord God, we are mindful, Lord, that you have brought us, oh God, out of the pits of the miry clay, out of sin, out of wickedness, God, where we were aliens, Lord, where we were without hope. And Lord, today we turn our attention and thank you, Lord, for your blood. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Thank you for your blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it was your blood. It was nothing to do with us, but it was your blood that built a bridge for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. We sing songs around here in church. One of the songs we like to sing is, "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb." We sing other songs. We sing the song, "Thank God for the blood." We sing, "It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that washes me." We like to sing about the blood of Jesus Christ because it is precious and it is powerful. Now, we live in a world where people don't like to talk about blood. And in fact, I've even seen much in Christianity. There's a bit of a trend these days to not talk about the blood of Jesus because nobody likes to talk about blood. And we just want to make church a comfortable place for everybody. And yes, of course we do. But we cannot go anywhere in our Christian life without an appreciation and a love for the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus. And I know and believe today that the blood of Jesus can produce a transformation in your life like nothing else in this world can do. You can have what you need through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are without hope today, you can be made nigh unto Jesus. You can be made nigh unto God by the blood. If you are aliens, if you are downcast, if you have an addiction, if you need healing in your body, I've come to tell you that there's power in the precious blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. I think the last four Sundays I was your pastor, but today I feel a little bit of an evangelist spirit upon me today. I'm reaching for somebody that doesn't know the power of the blood. I'm reaching for somebody that hasn't repented of their sins yet. I'm reaching for somebody today who hasn't yet been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm reaching for somebody that hasn't been filled with the Holy Spirit, because it's through that born-again experience that the blood of Jesus is applied to our lives. You see, in the book of Genesis, we read very early on in the Bible, we read about the importance of the blood. You see, we read even there in the book of Genesis that for sin to be covered, blood had to be shed. We read it in Genesis. You see, Adam and Eve, we know about Adam and Eve, and we should do anyway, and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was a tree that God told them that they were not to eat from. There was not an electric fence around it. There was not a moat with crocodiles around it. The only thing stopping Adam and Eve from partaking of that tree was that God said not to. And so when they disobeyed God's word, they sinned. That is the essence of sin. Some people will say, what is sin? Is it a list of rules? No, sin is simply disobeying God's word. And so Adam and Eve sinned when they partook of the tree that God had forbidden them to touch or to taste. And so they committed sin. And when they realized their sin, they suddenly realized that they were naked, and they did what we still do today. They tried to hide from God. And they blamed each other. We still do the same today. A lot of people, when they sin, when they've got sin in their life, they're like, oh, I can't come to the church. If I came to the church, the roof would fall in on me. Or, pastor, you don't know the mess that's in my life. I'm just gonna stay away from church because I got a lot of sin in my life. And so we try to hide from God, just like our great 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 grandfather and grandmother tried to hide from God. Or we do the other thing, we try to blame somebody else for it. Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed Adam, and there was the blame game. And so when they realized their nakedness, they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. And so the Bible says they sewed fig leaves together and they tried to cover themselves. And we also try to cover our sin with things of our own. Well, I'll just try to be a good person now. I will try to be good from now on. We try to cover ourselves with our good intentions. We cover ourselves with fig leaves. But God wasn't happy. Everybody say, God wasn't happy. God wasn't happy with fig leaves. My Italian grandfather from Calabria, he preached a message, and I'm not quite as game with my sermon titles as him, but he preached a message called, "Excuse me, your fig leaf is slipping." And fig leaves weren't enough. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, that God made them coats of skins and he clothed them. You see, for their sin to be covered, blood had to be shed. And so you can't get a leather skin without shedding some blood. And so right back there in Genesis chapter 3, it doesn't take us long to get into what it's all about. You see, I believe that there is a vein running all the way through the Bible. It is that precious blood of Jesus, right from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, when they said, "We overcame by the blood of Jesus." There is a vein of blood, the blood of Jesus, that theme runs through the whole scriptures. And so the Lord, to cover their sins, the Lord made them coats of skins and he clothed them. And right there in the book of Genesis chapter 3, God institutes the principle of substitution in sacrifice. You see, an innocent animal had to die for the punishment of the sinful people. And see, right back then, that innocent animal died so that Adam and Eve's sin could be covered. And that is a type. It's a shadow of eventually what Jesus would do so that our sins would be forgiven. He, the innocent Lamb of God, spotless and without sin, would die on a cross at a place called Calvary. His blood would be shed and our sins would be covered by his blood. Right back in Genesis 3, it doesn't take long for us to read about the importance of the blood. You don't have to go too much further. And we get into the book of Exodus. We read about the children of Israel who were in Egypt. Egypt was a place of slavery where they were in bondage. And Egypt speaks of sin. It's a type of sin. And God miraculously delivered his people from the bondage of Egypt. God calls this man, Moses, an 80-year-old man who's been watching sheep at the backside of the desert. And he says, "Moses, I want you to go and bring my people out of Egypt." And so Moses stood before Pharaoh. He stood there, that 80-year-old man, Moses. He says, "Hey, Pharaoh, I want you to let my people go. Let my people go." And Pharaoh's heart was so hard, he refused to let them go, and he refused to free those Hebrew slaves. And so God sends 10 plagues upon Egypt, 10 plagues to try and change Pharaoh's mind. They're probably learning it in Sunday school this year. First of all, the water was turned to blood, and then God sent a plague of frogs. How many people like frogs? I don't mind frogs, but there's some people, I've seen some of the biggest guys, muscliest guys, big islander guys, I've seen them totally lose it with a little frog. I was in the Torres Strait. You got these big guys that can wrestle turtles and dugongs and divers. Their shoulders are this wide. Their hands literally are like big vices as they grab you. And only a little frog will jump into the room. They'll fall off their chair. Frogs, lice, disease, livestock, boils, hail and fire, locusts and darkness. And then the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn. And so It was as they were preparing for the 10th and final plague that God gave the Israelites very specific instructions. He says, when the angel of death passes over the people, the angel of death is going to go throughout the whole land of Egypt. And if you haven't applied the blood, everybody say the blood. If the blood was not applied, the blood of the lamb, they had to kill a lamb, they had to roast it, they had to take that blood and they had to apply it to the doorpost and the lintel. And if they didn't apply the blood, that angel of death would have come into their house and the firstborn of every family would have died. You see, there was a great difference between this plague, the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, than any of the other nine. You see, in the previous nine plagues, it's important to notice, the Israelites were kept safe from the horrors of the plague because they were Jewish. You see, the Bible says that there was light in Goshen. The neighborhood that the Jews dwelt in, there was no hail or sickness there, but this plague was going to affect every household, including the Egyptians and including the Israelites. And so when it came to the 10th plague, the Jews were not exempt from the angel of death. Every single person had to apply the blood to the doorposts and the lintels of their homes. The blood of the lamb. They had to take a lamb. It couldn't be the lame one, you know, the one out in the paddock that was just getting around on three legs. And you go out and say, well, we don't need that one. We'll sacrifice that one. No, you couldn't take the lamb that was infertile. Well, this one can't have any babies. It's no good for us. Or this one, he's sterile. We just get rid of him. No, it had to be a perfect lamb, a spotless lamb. And what's more, it had to be a loved lamb. Everybody say, I love the lamb. There's something about lambs that you just fall in love with. True? Cuddly little lambs. Their tail's still wagging. They're so cute. I remember I used to go to Dave Moss's uncle's farm and we'd put our fingers through the fence and they'd come and suck on your fingers. They were so cute. And so God instituted, he said, when you take a lamb, you've got to keep it for 4 days. Now, I don't know about you, but if I brought a lamb home to my house for 4 days, my kids would fall in love with it. It would be very hard to kill that lamb and eat it. And that's why you don't name your chickens. Because when it comes for time for roast chicken, nobody wants to kill Martha or Marge or even Mr. Billy, the rooster. But this lamb was a loved lamb. It was a valued lamb. And it was going to cost them something. And that blood had to be shed. And that lamb speaks of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for us. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13 it says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. It's that blood is going to be applied to the house. And God says, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Everybody that had applied the blood, just as God had said, they were spared from the angel of death. And so this Exodus story, it's not just about Israel, but it's also about our salvation. The Exodus story was a type and shadow of things to come and was fulfilled when Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died for our sins. You see, this Exodus story was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. They were not saved because of their nationality. They were not saved because of who their parents were. They were not saved because of their status in the community. They were not saved for anything else but the blood of Jesus Christ. It was the blood of that lamb that saved every household. And so this is the clearest picture in the Old Testament of what salvation is today. And I've come to proclaim to you that there is something special about the precious blood of Jesus. There's something miraculous about the precious blood of Jesus. That's why we sing, thank God for the blood. That's why we sing, there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. About the blood of Jesus. Corinthians looks back to Exodus when talking about Jesus, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says this, he says, for even Christ, our Passover. You see, in Egypt, they had a Passover. That was when the angel of death passed over and they had plied the blood. It says, for even Christ, our Passover. Jesus is our New Testament Passover. His blood was shed. And let me remind every single one of you, if you don't already know, his blood was shed, but his blood also needs to be applied to your life. Just as the blood was applied to the doorposts and to the lintels, we need to apply the blood of Jesus to our life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 19 says this, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible, your salvation didn't come because of silver and gold. You didn't pay for your salvation. You didn't have to give money for your salvation. You weren't redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from your vain conversation, received from the tradition of your fathers. But how were we redeemed? Let's read the bold on the screen. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm talking today about the precious blood of Jesus. And so our text today, Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And I wanted to know, it's important to understand that what was going on in Ephesus at the time. It is important to understand the setting and the culture that these believers in Ephesus were coming out of. Ephesus was an ungodly place. Everybody say ungodly. It was full of idolatry. It was full of debauchery. It was a wicked environment, very much like where we live today. Ephesus was where the temple for the goddess Diana was located. It was a beautiful temple. It was massive. It was made entirely of marble. It was solely dedicated to pagan worship. And pagan worship was so full in Ephesus, it was everywhere, that it was pagan worship which was driving the economy. It was all that pagan worship which was supporting the economy. And I tell you today that you can tell a lot about a society by looking at their economy. Huh? You can tell a lot about society by looking at their economy. The Bible says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can tell where somebody's heart is by looking at their economy, where they spend their money. And it's sad to read in the newspaper just recently that people are spending more on their pets than they're giving to charities. Because that's where their heart is, in those little animals. And see, their whole economy was being propped up by pagan worship. And so Paul is writing to these Christians, these people who are worshiping the one true living God. And they're living in this pagan society. And he tells them, he says, church, I want you to remember from where you came. I want you to remember that I have brought you out. I want you to remember that you've been called out of that pagan worship, that you've been called out of those things and that idolatry and that debauchery, that I've called you out of those pagan ways, because back then you were far from God. I've called you out of that place where you were aliens and you were without hope. I wonder how many of us today have forgotten what God saved us from. You see, we might look good today. You know, we turned up and we haven't got too many worries and we're not too stressed out. We're not high on drugs or withdrawing from drugs or all those sort of things. And life is a lot easier than it used to be. But we must never forget where God has brought us from. You sit here today respectable. You sit here today in your right mind. You sit here today without sin in your life. But once upon a time, you were lost. You were aliens. You were far from God. And you were without hope. A lot of us, just a few years ago, maybe a few decades ago, Sunday morning, you wouldn't have been out of bed before 12 o'clock. And not because you had a night shift, but because you'd been drinking all night, just trying to drown your sorrows, trying to forget about your hopeless life, trying to forget about all your troubles. But now you're in the house of God. But now you're worshiping God. Why? Because you've been brought near. You've been brought near by the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, Paul says, you were lost, you without hope, but now in Christ, you who were sometimes afar off have been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. You may look good today, but where would you be if it wasn't for the Lord? Come on, some of us, we just got to praise God. Where would I be if it wasn't for the Lord? Where would my life be? Where would the course of my life have taken? Where would my family be? Where would my wife be? Where would my children be if it wasn't for the Lord? Because once we were afar off, once we were aliens, once we were without hope. And that's why us mature Christians, don't become like mature cheese. We become old and moldy and smelly. You don't be like mature cheese. You know, some of us mature Christians, you know, that's why we can be outpraised and outworshipped by somebody who's just come to the Lord. You look at the people who've been in church 30 years, 40 years, just standing there. You know why? You know why they can't worship God? Because they've forgotten where they came from. That's why when you come into church, you see a new convert, they're dancing, they're praising God. They're like, oh, when's church? Only two more sleeps until church. Can't wait to get there. Yeah, pastor, I'm going to be praying and fasting. And all the mature ones are sitting there going, fasting? You're kidding me. God, I thought you were going to open up the windows of heaven. And so we've got to have a reminder. And Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he said, I want to remind you where you came from. You came out of that sin-sick world. I saved you. I delivered you. And it was all because the blood of Jesus built a bridge. You were lost. You were without hope. But the blood of Jesus built a bridge. And I say, thank God for the blood. We sing that song, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost, not just the sickness in our body, but emotional sickness and mental sickness and all those things, how God set us free. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. The church at Ephesus was just like our world today. What's the problem in our world today? Well, everyone would like to debate that and say, well, the problem in our world today, we need to have an election and we need to elect this person and that person. No, that's not how we're going to solve the problem in the world today. Politics is not the problem. That's not the problem. The problem in our world today is the same problem that they had in Ephesus. It's a sin problem. Everybody say a sin problem. See, there's no use going and placarding and standing there trying to fight politics because you're just putting Band-Aid on something. The problem is sin. When it comes to corruption, you can vote one government out, another government will come in, be just as corrupt. Why? Because it's a sin problem. The world's just going to keep going down the same old track. Why? Because it's a sin problem. We have a moral problem. We have a sin problem. And it's the same problem that existed since the garden. And I've come to tell you that the only solution for sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus. And until creation gets back in relationship with the Creator, we're going to have big problems. Until our world turns to God, until our world turns to the Word of God, we've got no hope, except we can only be made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says that the blood of Jesus is the way that we are made nigh unto God. I thank God for the blood. And on Friday night, we gathered here for communion and we remembered the blood of Jesus. That's why it's so important. And so there they are in a wicked city. They are afar off. They are without God. Their past was dedicated to all sorts of gods and sins. But now, I don't think we understand exactly, but now in Christ, not because of me, Not because of Uncle Bobby. Not because of Grandma. Yeah, I thank God for Grandma's prayers. But now in Christ, Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Once addicted, but now in Christ. Once far from God, but now in Christ. Once going and living a sinful life, but now in Christ. I was a far away. There was a gulf between where I was and what God wanted for my life. But now I am brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, thank God for the blood. Somebody say, thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. With the precious blood of Christ, the Bible says, is a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 23 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. Everyone say the holiest. Into the presence of God. How do we get into the presence of God? Sinful human beings, mortal human beings. How do we get into the presence of God? It says, by the blood of Jesus. A new and living way. It speaks of Jesus, which he has consecrated for us through the veil. You see, when the blood of Jesus was shed, that veil into the Holy of Holy was split. And we can now go into the holiest. Why and how? By the blood of Jesus. And so there was a time when we couldn't enter into the presence of God. But now, in Christ, you who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4 and 5 says this, every valley, this is prophesying of Jesus and his death, every valley shall be exalted. Every valley shall be lifted up. And every mountain shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places made plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be brought low. It's speaking of Jesus and his death on the cross. You see, listen to me very carefully. Probably no more profound statement than I'm going to make right now. When the cross of Jesus was driven into the timeline of mankind, it leveled the playing field. When the cross of Jesus was driven into the timeline of mankind, it leveled the playing field. No longer was it just the priests, but now anybody who had applied the blood could go into the Holy of Holies. We have access by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank God at the cross, when that cross was driven into the timeline of mankind, the ground is always even at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter what your status is in this society. It doesn't matter if you're the prime minister. It doesn't matter if you're wealthy. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you just walked off the street. It doesn't matter if you come from royal lineage. It doesn't matter if you come from an embassy. And we have people here from embassies. We've had ambassadors here. We've had all of them. But it doesn't matter. Once you walk through those doors, the ground is even at the foot of the cross. There is no privilege when it means to go into the presence of God. You don't go in there because of status or because of your second name. It is all because of the precious blood of Jesus. And his blood was shed for all of us. Every tribe, every tongue, every color, every nation, everybody. The blood of Jesus was shed for all of us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that those who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I thank God. I thank God for the blood. See, this is what it's all about, brothers and sisters. This is the foundation of Christianity. Without the blood, we've got nothing. Take away the blood, we just may as well have bingo. May as well do karate in the house of God. May as well just have a Christian club where we get together, play chess, and have picnics. No, it all comes to nothing if it wasn't for the blood. Heaven or hell, there's nothing. It all comes down to the blood of Jesus. We have no hope. I could preach until my hair, the rest of my hair falls out, my socks fall down, but if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, nobody would be saved. I thank God for the blood. You see, there's somebody here today, you've been hesitant to come to God. You've been hesitant to even come to church. You're saying, oh, Pastor, all my mistakes and my past, the shame and the sin. Let me tell you, you're sitting here today and you say, I just can't imagine, Pastor, how I can get from where I am today to becoming a believer. Let me tell you how you get from where you are today to becoming a believer. Let me tell you, it's the blood of Jesus that built a bridge. It was those people at Ephesus, they were without hope. They were lost. They were without God. They were without the covenants of promise. They couldn't imagine how they could become Christians, how they could be drawn nigh to God. But Paul told them, he said, the reason you are where you are today is because blood built a bridge for you. And we walk over by the blood of the Lamb. And right there in Genesis, Adam and Eve tried to build their bridge by covering themselves with fig leaves. It didn't work. Because why? Blood had to be shed. And I don't know all the details of your life. I don't know your thoughts. I don't know what you've been up to. I don't know the sin in your life and the shame and all the regrets that you've got. But I want to tell you today that the blood of Jesus can build a bridge to where you are today. I've seen the blood of Jesus build bridges to murderers. I've seen the blood of Jesus build bridges to drug dealers. I've seen the blood of Jesus build bridges to all sorts of mess, because the blood of Jesus is powerful. It reaches to the highest mountain and it goes to the lowest valley. The blood will never lose its power. And so if you're separated from God today, if you've got sin in your life, I want to tell you that the blood of Jesus can wash you clean. Now, just like in Exodus, the blood was shed. And we remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. The historical fact that Jesus died, he was buried and rose again. That's history. The blood of Jesus. You can know that he's the Lamb of God. You can know that. You can also believe in the power of the blood. But unless you apply the blood. Everybody say apply. Unless you apply the blood. Just like they had to do an Exodus, apply the blood to the doorposts and lintels. Unless we apply the blood, we cannot be saved. And so how do we apply the blood? Let me tell you how we apply the blood. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. We also need to die to our old life. And the Bible calls that repentance, to turn around. Once we were walking this way, we were lost and without hope. We were doing idolatry and debauchery and all those wicked things, just like the church in Ephesus. Once we were walking in that way. But when we repent, we turn around. We start walking towards God and we say, you know, God, I'm not a good person. I haven't got it all together, but I'm going to start walking in your ways. I'm going to start obeying your word. I'm going to start following you. That is repentance. It's an inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. An inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter was preaching to the multitude. And they responded and said, what must we do? How do we get back to God? How can we be saved? What must we do? And Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, the blood is applied to our life when we repent, when we are baptized in Jesus' name. And God said, I will fill you with the Holy Spirit. Are you separated from God today? If God came back in the clouds, if Jesus came back in the clouds, would you be ready? Have you applied the blood to your life? Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. If the musicians could come, I thank God for the blood. We're getting right down to the foundations today of what it means to be a Christian. Right down to the basics of everything. And we've got to understand this, that without the blood, we were without hope. That without the blood, we were without God. Without the blood, we were aliens. His blood was shed for me. His blood was shed for you. His blood was shed. And because of His blood, the strongholds of sin can be broken on our life. Because of His blood, we can be healed. Because of blood, addictions can be gone. Because of His blood, depression can be gone. Because it's the blood of Jesus that has all power. You see, it's so simple. How could it be that we live in a world that has made such a powerful day, a powerful time, the Easter time, when the answer to all the world's problems is right before us, the Easter holidays? Yeah, they are holy days, not holidays. A time when we can really have an appreciation of the death of Jesus and what He did for us in shedding His blood. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, He knew everyone. The sin of the whole world was placed on His shoulders. The Bible says that He didn't just forget our sin. The Bible says that He became sin. He took on all of our sin. He became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It wasn't just forgotten. It wasn't just, He didn't put a line through it, but He took all of our sin on Him and He died for us. And Paul said, church at Ephesus, can you remember what it was like to be without hope, without God, aliens? But now, remember, you've been made nigh by the blood of Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians 2, if you haven't been baptized, I encourage you. Some may say, oh, baptism was for little babies. Well, nowhere in the Bible were little babies buried in the waters of baptism. No babies were baptized in the Bible. Adults were baptized in the Bible when they made a decision to repent of their sins. Then they were baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission, for the washing away. It says, buried with Him in baptism. Colossians 2. Wherein also you are risen with Him through faith of the operation of God, who has raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. You see, there was a whole list of things which were contrary to us. Sin, the ordinances which were contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You see, our own good intentions are nothing but fig leaves. God said, fig leaves, that's not how you're going to cover your sin. And these days we say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm just going to try to be a good person. And we have a lot of good people in the world, a lot of great people. But our righteousness, the Bible says, is just like filthy rags. Just nothing. But we've got to take on the righteousness of God. And so, fig leaves weren't enough. Just to take the lamb in the book of Exodus when they're coming out of Egypt, just to take the lamb and to kill it and to eat it was not enough either unless they applied the blood. So I ask you today, have you applied the blood to your life by repenting of your sins, by being baptized in Jesus' name and seeking the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that promise which God said is for every single one of us? I thank God today for the blood. How many people here today have been baptized in Jesus' name? You see, there's nothing like being baptized in the precious name of Jesus. You see, this is the answer for the world today. How many people, if they could just know that all their sins can be washed away by being baptized in Jesus' name? There's nothing in the world like going down into those waters, once an old creation, but now a new creation, washed by the blood of Jesus. I thank God for the blood. You see, it's the blood that keeps us going. I'm going to read one more scripture because I just can't resist. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 to 11. For all of us who have already been born again, serving God, it's not just the blood that saves us, but it's the blood that keeps us. And that's why you hear preachers, they say, when you're going through difficulties, we plead the blood. Because look at this, in Revelation chapter 12, we've gone from Genesis to Revelation. I've almost preached the whole Bible, and some of you saying, yeah, you haven't been going long enough. My roast is about to be burnt. Well, one old preacher said it just really clear. He goes, well, if you're going to hell, you can afford to be late. Revelation 12 verse 9, it says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down. You see, the devil is that accuser. He's going to come and he's going to try to accuse us and to bring us down. The accuser of the brethren was cast down, which accused them day and night. Throw the next scripture up. Is the next scripture there? Look at this. And they overcame. Who? The accuser. When the accuser comes to you and says, come on, who do you think you are? Come on, you call yourself a Christian. You're not very strong. Come on, you made a mistake. Yeah, we all make mistakes. We all fall. It's about whether you get up again or not. So the accuser comes, the devil trying to drag you back into your old life. And look at this. And they overcame that old accuser, that old snake, that old sly serpent, that old dragon. The Bible says they overcame him, not just by their own personal strength or their good intentions. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. Let's all stand in this place today. I thank God for the blood. Thank you, Jesus. This altar is open today. Maybe you're here today and you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name. Maybe you haven't repented of your sins. Maybe you're here today and you've never, ever made that clear decision that you want to live for God. Yeah, you like the idea of being a Christian. Yes, you like coming to church, but you've never ever made a commitment to live your life for God. You've never repented of your sins. I encourage you today to repent of your sins. If you've never been baptized, come see me after church. I want to arrange a baptism service as soon as possible. Just like they did in the Bible, they didn't wait. They baptized people when they were asked. We're ready to baptize. You've got a baptism tank there ready to go. If you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, this altar is open. We're going to spend a few moments seeking God. But if you want to talk to me about getting baptized and getting that blood applied to your life, there's nothing better than, as a pastor, than seeing people born again. Amen. Let's lift our hands all across this place. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your word.